And welcome to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Denise Kenny. She is the executive director of Musicopia and Dancing Classrooms, and Kate Lombardi, the managing director of Dancing Classrooms Philly, and Frank Makos. He is the executive director for the Office of the Arts and Creative Learning for the School District of Philadelphia. Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
So can we get started with just a quick mission statement for these organizations? And Denise, we're going to throw you under the bus for that one.
Okay. Well, first, thank you for having us. Musicopia was actually started by my mom, and this is our 45th birthday. And the mission then is the same as the mission now, and it's to make sure that all children have access to music regardless of circumstance. And I'll let Kate talk about the Dancing Classrooms mission.
Yeah. So Dancing Classrooms Philly was founded in 2007 with the mission to foster self-esteem, social awareness, and joy in children through the opportunity to practice and perform ballroom dance.
And, of course, you're involved with Musicopia, too, with its drum line, and we're going to talk a little bit about that while we're at it today. But now, Frank, can you talk about the Office of the Arts and Creative Learning for the school district?
Sure. So we are the creative center of the School District of Philadelphia. So everything that happens across our 225 schools and our 130,000 students related to arts education, of course, that's theater, dance, music, visual arts, and media. And then we also look at the creative learning side in terms of how we can make classrooms more fun for all kids. Everybody can think about the way they learn the alphabet, and they usually can't do it without the song. And that's kind of the way we like to talk about creative learning. What are the ways that we can make the classroom more fun and make sure kids have fun every day, all day?
And programs like this, what's the overall impact for you?
So there's so many great things that come out of programs like Dancing Classrooms Philly and the Musicopia programs. Most importantly for our students, it's the social development. It's the opportunity to be free and creative in a room with their peers and be put into situations that at first they may think are a little bit awkward and not want to jump into. But once they see how much fun they can have together, you really start to see that bonding happen and building community and expressing kindness. It's all part of everything we do and some of the most important work we do in education.
Well, so then let's go back then. Kate, Dancing Classrooms Philly, it pretty much says it all. You're dancing in classrooms.
Yes, we are. We actually go into schools and work with 5th and 8th grade students as part of their school day. This is especially impactful and also challenging because the students aren't opting into the program. It is a mandatory part of their school day. So whether you want to dance or not, you're asked to participate and try to work with your classmates. And that is really kind of the fun and the difficulty of the program.
And see, I thought that this would be such a wonderful break from the regular sitting at a desk, that it would be something that a kid would earn. But you're saying it's mandatory. That's awesome.
It is. And it is fun for the students. But imagine being 10 or 13 and having to actually touch one of your classmates, touch their hands, get into a dance frame. It's really a challenge for them. But once they learn to work together and form those bonds with each other, it is really fun. And it is a nice break for both their minds and their bodies throughout the school day.
Talk about, what are you teaching the kids?
The students are learning throughout the classes 6 or 7 ballroom dances, the merengue, the rumba, the salsa. So they're getting to move their hips a little bit. And then as well as some of the smoother dances, the foxtrot, the waltz, and they also get to do the swing, which is always a favorite.
I've never heard the foxtrot described as a smooth dance, especially when you see me do it. And I thought I was probably the last generation to learn that dance. And the kids, the first day of class, you said you're going to learn the merengue. What do they say?
They basically run away from each other. There's lots of comments about, oh, they have cooties. Oh, they're going to have sweaty hands. That's pretty much the first reaction. And then once the music comes on and they kind of feel that rhythm and they realize that this isn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, that quickly fades.
You know, I hadn't even thought about it, but all of the dances you described are partner dances that does involve hand-holding.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Is that where they pick that for a reason?
Yes. So while the ballroom dance is the art form that we use for the students, the main focus is really the social and emotional benefits of having to learn to work with someone else. So you do have to be accepting of all of your classmates. You do have to have patience with someone because you're learning the steps at the same time, and not everyone picks it up at the same rate. So it really is more about the teamwork and having to work with someone else than just the physical action of dancing.
I've got cats, so I honestly don't know. 10-year-olds and 13-year-olds, maybe this is one for you, Frank. What are they like at that age in a classroom situation? Parents can tell you one thing. What are they like in a classroom?
Yeah, between 10 and 13, they're ready to move just about all day, every day. So typically at that point, they've been in school for a number of years. They know the drill. They have to sit and they have to learn and achieve their academics. But they're always antsy and they're ready to go. So giving them creative breaks, whether it's dancing, whether it's drumming on something or just singing together for a few minutes, it just resets a lot of the mindset. Especially kids today, teenagers today are very good at creating a personal soundtrack for their lives. They often walk around with headphones. So when you ask them to share that, sometimes it's a very personal space that they're not used to being asked to bring together. And it really gives them an opportunity to be vulnerable. And if they have trust in the instructors, which in dancing classrooms we see they almost always do, then they really get to go on a journey together and form bonds that last beyond the experience.
I'm going to guess that none of them are listening to big band music or waltzes on those headphones. So are we introducing a totally new format of even music to the kids at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. A lot of the work that we do is tricking kids into learning the things we want them to learn. And we talk about it all the time in our office and our work. Our students come in to kindergarten and pre-K. They are dancers. They are singers. They are musicians. They will bang on anything. So it's really our job to never suppress that within them, but really heighten that and celebrate it. And so by the time we bring them into programs like the ones we're talking about today, we're asking them to take what they're intrinsically motivated to do and then bringing some history to the table and bringing some form to the table and really allowing them to expand on, you know, something that's already inside of them.
Do we describe to them, you know, the circumstances that this particular dance came to be, like swing out of jazz and the waltz and the different eras? Do they get a little history with things as they're learning them?
Yes. So throughout the residency, the students are asked to both bring the information to the table themselves. Where do you think this dance might be from? If you recognize the music, what is the genre of music? And then also we ask the students to do assignments throughout the residency where they actually do their own additional research. And that might be, what is the history of the country where the merengue is from? What is something that other people might not know about Argentina, where the tango is from? So they are asked to do their own research and find out more about the dances and the culture surrounding those dances.
Yeah, and I would add that in some of our schools, some of the certain dances are more familiar. It's part of the cultures of the students that we're serving, particularly in different neighborhoods across the city. So it gives some of our schools where we may look on paper and the academics may not be the strongest, but when we bring these programs in and they're culturally relevant and the kids can relate to it, they become our superstar students instantly.
How does it actually work? Run through the program because you're an instructor. Run through it from the first class to what? How does it develop and how do you get them to stand up that first time? I know it's mandatory, you make them, but you know, how do you get them to anticipate with pleasure this class?
Yes, so it's mandatory. We make them, but I say that knowing that you can't make every child do something, right? Just by asking them. So there is a lot of tricking them. We use a lot of funny terms to talk about our hands, which are really our pancakes. And we have them show their partner their teeth to try to get them to smile at each other. So we use lots of funny language to just make them laugh, really, and loosen up and forget about that tension that they're thinking about having to look at someone. So the first class is really a lot of those that funny imagery to help them get on board. After about three or four lessons, the students really have gotten a little bit more comfortable with each other and they are able to touch hands. And by that point, they're also able to get into a dance frame where they're almost looking at their partners. It's normally not until around lesson 10 or 11 where they actually are able to make eye contact. But even before that, we tell them, you can look at your partner's forehead. We can't tell that you're not looking right into their eyes. So we use that throughout the whole process until about halfway through, they are able to feel that comfort with each other. And then by that final performance where they all get to perform for their school community, they are completely different students. They're so much taller. They're able to express themselves physically, showing the different emotions of the dancing. It's a pretty amazing journey that they go through.
Touch briefly on the physicality of this too, because you just mentioned that they're taller, they're standing taller, they're more aware of their movement. Is this got health benefits too?
Yes, of course. So normally around lesson five, the students are complaining about their arms because we're asking them to stay in a dance frame for about 45 minutes throughout the class, and their muscles are sore. They're like, oh, I can't hold up my arms anymore. But reminding them to resist gravity, to use those muscles to help their partner, they are just physically building that core strength, building their arm strength. And a lot of the dances have a pretty high tempo, so they're also getting their heart rate up. For, again, about that whole 45 minutes, they're moving. They're not really resting much. Sometimes they try to sit down. No, you're not allowed to sit down during ballroom dancing. So we do get to keep them moving that whole time.
Does this take place in gym classes or in the classroom?
It actually varies school to school. Sometimes it's in the gym. Sometimes it takes the place of their music class once a week because they are still hearing those rhythms and music from different places. So it really varies school to school.
Do kids get music and dance in schools that do not have Musicopia and dancing classrooms?
Yeah, so we're really excited about the growth of arts education in the district over the last decade. We have incredible leadership right now with Dr. Height, who's an avid supporter of the arts. We have certified arts educators in over 95% of our school buildings. And our goal is to get to 100% not only of one art form, but to really have a blend of all the art forms in all of our schools. So that's something we've been committed to. So there is a robust offering of arts education provided by our district teachers. But as most folks who are fans of the arts know, there's no limit to the types of different genres and arts that we can bring in on any day. So having partners supplement the work that our teachers are doing is critical. And particularly with levels of deep expertise in certain subject areas like ballroom dance, even where we have our certified dance educators, they may have other expertise. And so while they may be the primary teacher all day long, they're always excited and eager to bring partners who can supplement the work that they're doing.
You know what? We didn't talk about the school district of Philadelphia, and it is a remarkably diverse one. Economically, ethnically, and even ability-wise. Every kind of kid from advanced placement to kids who do need extra support and help. And anybody can participate in these things. And the idea of them interacting with each other, this is really vital when you've got such a diverse population, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And it's one of the few opportunities where students who may not excel sitting at a desk and taking tests can really show their strengths and be the classroom leaders and be the social leaders in a group. And, you know, we believe that every student should have some outlet to express their creative voice, and providing these different opportunities in every context that, as you mentioned, the district is so diverse. It's so vast. And our job is to make sure that we have programs in every one of our buildings that meet the needs of the students that are there.
And this is a great social equalizer because this is all about etiquette and...
Well, and they are all starting at the exact same spot. There are a few students who might have danced before they come into our classes, but they have never danced with each other before in this way. Actually with a partner, having to switch partners, having to dance with everyone in the class. So whether you've never danced before, you are learning the steps with every single person from the beginning. You're also, maybe verbally, you have a hard time interacting with your classmates. But here, again, it's all about just physically moving through the space together. And they are all on an equal place in that setting.
What about gender roles? Because somebody has to lead and follow.
So we actually at Dancing Classrooms Philly take out the leading and following. It's really important to us that students are equals in the ballroom. No one's leading. No one's following. They're going through this together. So it's actually they're learning it at the same time. That's something that we actually have been thinking about, especially thoughtfully going into this school year. We offered schools gender neutral circles. Traditionally, ballroom dancing is a lady and a gentleman dancing together. But that is a traditional thing that isn't actually relevant as much anymore. So we've started for our school communities offering, if you want to take that out, we can just have students, the class split equally, no gender involved, so that everyone feels equal and like there is no separation. And we take out those traditional gender roles and kind of move forward into a new thinking about ballroom dance.
You know what? We're at the halfway point, and here's where I always say, you're listening to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Denise Kenny, the Executive Director of Musicopia and Dancing Classrooms Philly, Kate Lombardi, Managing Director of Dancing Classrooms Philly, and also with the Drumline, which we haven't gotten to yet. We haven't talked about music at all yet. And Frank Makos, he is the Executive Director for the Office of the Arts and Creative Learning for the School District of Philadelphia. If you'd like more information, and wherever you are hearing this, I don't care if you're on the dark side of the moon, and this is an international organization now, correct? Right? You can find more information about Dancing Classrooms at dancingclassrooms.org. If your school district, if you're a parent and you're hearing this and you're thinking, I think my school could sure benefit from this, Dancing Classrooms is where to go. Now, for Philadelphia School District, go to dancingclassroomsphilly.org. Real easy, dancingclassroomsphilly.org or musicopia.net. And if you would like to get involved, like as in make a donation to something that's really doing a lot for our students, it's easy. Press the donate button on the website or text GIVE DCP to 44321. Let's jump in really quickly and start talking a little bit about the music side, though, as well, because Musicopia, 45 years. So this is a grassroots years. And local organization.
Yeah. My mom is a professional violist, and she's since retired. But when, you know, in the 70s, when they first started cutting music programs, they made the mistake of cutting my music program. And she and her friends came in to volunteer. I don't think the school quite saw it that way, but other schools called. And from that, Musicopia was born. And we're very proud to work in partnership with the Philadelphia School District and with some of the other school districts, the Chester School District, just because we don't consider ourselves to be a solo provider. You know, we work best as part of a team. And Frank Makos has been wonderful in giving us opportunities to join teams that just needed a little bit of help or a little bit of glue to really soar.
Now, is this an appreciation course or is this an actual playing course?
So one of the things about Musicopia that can sometimes be difficult is that we do a lot of things. You know, when we first started, it was more assemblies and residencies because there was music instruction in most of the schools. It might have been diminished, but it was still there. And as time has evolved, we've gone from showing students different types of music, different genres, to giving them the tools, giving them the instruments themselves, helping them get the instruction, working in actually teaching group lessons in some of the private schools and some of the Catholic schools, to where now we also have after-school ensembles. We have the Musicopia String Orchestra, which has close to 90 students that come from, I think we said 24 different schools around the city. And then, of course, we have the Musicopia Drumlines program, which is our fastest growing program. And we have that in partnership with the School District of Philadelphia. And we're very proud of the impact that has made.
Kate, you got to tell us, what is Drumline?
So the Musicopia Drumlines is, as Denise mentioned, an after-school percussion network where students, whether they have just started with an instrument, they can be a part of the drumline because they are taught without necessarily having other musical background to hear the rhythms, to be able to perform the rhythms. And there is a progression from instrument to instrument for the beginners to those that are more advanced. And these groups perform at different venues around the city. They perform at their high school football games. The Musicopia Royals, which is our more elite advanced performers, are the official drumline of the Philadelphia Union. They also get to do a lot of work performing with the School District of Philadelphia events. Frank, there was an event recently where the drum lines kind of got to battle each other, right?
Yeah, so we just wrapped up our inaugural homecoming weekend, which was produced by our partner, the Fund for the School District of Philadelphia. Their mission is to raise funds for all types of things across the school district. And we culminated the day with the Battle of the Bands. We had over 8 schools and 12 different groups. And certainly one of the highlights of the day was the drumline battle between Kensington Kappa and Hill Friedman. And it was at the Craft Hall down near Delaware River, and the kids went at it so strong and so well done that nobody could declare a winner, and the instructors had to jump in and have an instructor battle, and still we declared it a tie. So we're working on a fun prize for all of the participants. But yeah, the drumlines are always a highlight of our district events. They perform across the city, everything from outdoor ribbon cuttings to kicking off meetings and events when a group needs people to pay attention and know that it's time to transition into an event or get something started. The drumline's a great way to get everybody to stop and look.
So now you mentioned the fund for the schools. And so these programs are free to the students who participate in them?
The in-school work, the in-school residencies is at no cost to the students that participate.
And I would add to that that that's really part of our primary mission, is that the 80% of our work is done in, you know, under-resourced areas or under-resourced schools, because we want to make sure all the kids get to have the fun.
And that was actually the basis, wasn't it? Of no, it was conflict resolution that started Dancing Classrooms, wasn't it? The founder was working with, help me out here, jump in here.
Yes.
This is your organization.
Pierre Dulane in New York City, about 25 years ago, actually, started working with high school students. He was, at that time, performing on Broadway. He was also a world champion competitive ballroom dancer, but he actually started in a high school working with students, and it kind of just grew from there.
And he realized that this worked with getting students of all kinds to learn social polish and getting to know each other, getting to be able to work with each other on a common goal, etc.
Yeah, and the teaching artists are trained in the Dulane method, which has been, again, worked on, improved upon over the past 25 years. And that really is the focus of the training and how the teaching artists are working with the students, is having that patience, having empathy towards the students, knowing they're not going to be able to do this right away. There's going to be issues amongst different sets of students where you have to give them tools to work through that, and you have to be patient with them to allow them to work through that together.
And of course, Dancing Classrooms is through grants and funds that pays to get that into the classroom.
Yeah, so there's a combination. Schools, if they have a budget, can certainly opt to contract and bring the teaching artists and the program into the school. We do a lot of work to subsidize the programs. I would say there's an emphasis on some of our, you know, schools that we look at where students can use different approaches. When we look at the academics in a school not being the strongest, we start to ask right away what's missing. And always we come back to the arts. So we try really hard to focus on bringing in different programs like Dancing Classrooms to these types of schools. And we see great return on investment.
Well, what about the Acceleration Network schools?
Yeah, so the Acceleration Network schools has been a really great project. We've had some opportunities in the last 2 years to focus. So for those listening that aren't aware, our acceleration networks are schools that we've deemed at the most in need of additional supports and program redesigns. It's where our students are scoring the lowest on the standardized tests and so on and so forth. So and I'll let Denise talk a little bit more about the specific donor, but it was really great to have an opportunity to go to that whole entire network and say, this program is available for you at no cost, and we'd really like for your students to participate in it.
Great. And the grant that we received was from the Harvey and Virginia Kimmel Foundation, and Harvey Kimmel was actually one of the original founders here in Philadelphia in 2007. And in 2012, we worked to form a partnership between the two organizations, and the Kimmels have stayed. There are fans. You know, they cheer when things go well. They'll help us when things aren't going in the right direction. And we were particularly interested about these schools because we saw the dramatic change in whole classrooms of children, And there had been some research done in New York that clearly showed impact in their learning ability, in their social skills, in their even their mood. And so these schools in particular, we were really wanted to work in because it sounded like they could use dance and music more than many of the other schools that are doing just fine. So we're excited to work in them.
So we're getting a positive response from the students. We're getting a positive response from the schools. What about the kids who actually do really well? What do you do for the kids who actually show promise and do really great at this?
So we actually, with Dancing Classrooms Philly, have an academy program. So students that want to continue dancing can take classes. There's three different locations that are strategically placed throughout the city for ease of access. One up in the Northeast, in West Philadelphia, and in South Philadelphia, where students can continue learning. Through that, there's also an opportunity to perform at the end of the school year at our Academy Festival, where all three sites come together. We also have another group of students that have continued on for longer, who the Dancing Classrooms Philly All-Stars, that actually perform at community events, and they do more interaction, getting others from Philadelphia up and dancing as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I would also add that dance education has certainly been an emphasis of our office in the last few years. We're really excited. Just recently, we can officially announce that we formed a Pennsylvania Dance Education Organization, which is an affiliate of the National Dance Education Organization. And we are uniting schools from across the state with partners and higher education, dance programs, really committed to the advocacy of dance education in schools beyond just the ballroom, the different benefits that we've talked about earlier today, but really looking at moving the certification back into the state of Pennsylvania. There's currently not a dance education certification, and that's something we are all committed to seeing brought back and expanding dance to more and more students, and to be able to create that pipeline of students as they advance and where we find students who really take to dance and show a skill in it and want other opportunities beyond the introductory. That's something we are certainly committed to doing and working with the incredible Arts Network across the city of Philadelphia to make sure students have those opportunities.
We are actually out of time. This is it. So parting words, how do we get involved? Frank?
Certainly donating always helps. That's something we are always greatly appreciative of. You can visit the websites that were mentioned earlier and make a donation. More importantly, and maybe sometimes easier, we encourage folks to visit the district's website. We have an Office of Arts. If you go to philasd.org/arts, there's an events calendar. One of the greatest things you can do is visit a local school and attend either their winter showcases or their different assemblies and programs that are open to the public. It's always great to have a full audience. And more importantly, we love for the greater community to learn about the amazing work our students and teachers are doing every day.
You can also follow both Dancing Classrooms Philly and Musicopia on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There's events happening all the time throughout the school year. So if you follow us there, you can kind of keep up to date on that and visit us at some of the upcoming events.
Wonderful.
And Denise? And I'd like to make a plug for our instrument donation program. Musicopia operates the statewide program. We're the regional provider for that, for the gift of music. We have 20 drop-off sites all around the city for used instruments. And last year, we refurbished over 600 that we put back in the hands of schools that needed them or children. So please continue to donate.
And so for more information about everything that we talked about today, again, if you're hearing this and you are not in Philadelphia, dancingclassrooms.org. For Philadelphia, dancingclassroomsphilly.org. You can always make a donation by texting GIVE DCP to 44321. And of course, musicopia.net for more information about that program. Learn where you can donate your used instruments, learn about their programming, and you can text a donation to them as well. Musicopia to 44321 and learn about what the city of Philadelphia is doing in its school districts, how it is resurrecting the arts, how you can get involved. Go to philasd.org/arts or follow them in social media. They're at Philly Arts Ed. My guests have been Denise Kenny. She is the executive director of Musicopia and Dancing Classrooms. Kate Lombardi, its managing director. And Frank Makos, the executive director of the Office of Arts and Creative Learning for the School District of Philadelphia. Thank you all for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.